T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
We're brothers from New Hampshire with venture capitalists.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sick of that. Let's be from Vermont and let's have an emerging maple syrup conglomerate.
With Dusty Hara.
Stupid, we don't know anything about maple syrup.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I happen to know everything there is to know about maple syrup. I love maple syrup. I love maple syrup on pancakes. I love it on pizza. I like to take maple syrup and put a little bit in my hair when I've had a rough week. What do you think holds it up, slick?
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
I'd like to be pimps from Oakland or cowboys from Arizona, but it's not Halloween. Grow up, Peter Pan.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Have you done your research?
Yes, I have done my research, and I've come to the conclusion that Andy Reid is not a redhead.
Full disagree. I'm looking at a picture of Andy Reid.
I'm looking at three pictures of Andy Reid.
Young with red hair.
And Andy Reid is a fringe strawberry blonde. More towards brown. A real redhead is Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is a real redhead. I was a frighteningly freakish. Now I'm not anymore. But frighteningly, freakishly red is just stark.
So you have to be freakishly redheaded?
You have to be a full redhead. That is, I got to send two pictures.
His nickname is Big Red.
So it doesn't matter. Anybody could have a nickname. Anybody could have a nickname. I got to look at a pic. I found a hysterical picture, though. I might have to tweet this one out, of him giving Brett Favre a hug in the locker room after a Green Bay win, when he was the quarterback's coach for Green Bay. Very dark brown hair in this scenario. But Brett Favre has got his pants halfway down with his jock strap showing. It's hysterical.
I got one of him in a football uniform where his hair is red. Like, it's red.
Well, I'm giving you my analysis.
I don't know.
Redheads only can give redheads.
Well, there's controversy
here. Yeah. I'm looking at his picture of a young picture. I got his coaching picture. Yep. Redhead is Andy Dalton. You know when you see a redhead, that's Randy Dalton. That's Andy Dalton. That's a redhead.
Okay. But you're saying it is because the Cowboys did not have Andy Dalton's back because he's a redhead.
Yeah, I think there's redhead bias. I think there is. Nobody likes redheads.
All right. Miscommunication or a sign of bigger problems in Chicago. One of the big storylines coming out of Monday Night Football last night is for all the bad reasons for the Chicago Bears, as Brian Griese dropped this little nugget. And I have to say, it has not been noticeable, the Monday night booth, as it has been in years past, where you're just like, what is happening there? I think that Levy, Lou Riddick, and Brian Griese are doing a fantastic job. But when Brian Griese says something like this, people start paying attention.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
That raised a lot of red flags for folks watching the game and then in the post game as well, because of the fact that, look, that's a massive, massive, massive question mark when your quarterback is questioning your coach's play calls as they're coming into the game.
So as Greasy was getting into this, he was describing the fact that when Matt Nagy would make a play call and you would say a 5-step drop, a 7-step drop, and Nick Foles would get back to that 7 steps, and he's like, I don't have the kind of time. You want me to do a 5-step drop? I hit that back foot. I got to get the ball out. So he's throwing to the check down. He's not hitching and giving time to get deep because the offensive line play is bad. But I asked this question of guys that were former players and now are in the media, because I'm not a media member.
Yeah, you are.
No, hell no. I ain't a media member. I asked that. No, I'm a radio show. That doesn't, and not media. I'm not those guys that commentate and get all, oh, wait a minute. But anyway, did Brian Griese break code? Because this could have been the pre-production meeting. It could have done all of that. If you have that conversation, he's just, he's telling the truth and he's not wrong. Brian Griese's not wrong. And Nick Foles is like, hey, if this is true and I can't have the offensive line play and I can't get these throws off in time, and Matt Nagy calls a play and I go like, and I'm in my head going, God, I can't get this ball off. You want me to get to five steps, hitch it, and I got to get to the check down.
Well, and Nick Foles after the game was asked about it, because obviously people are going to have questions when something like that pops up during a Monday night game.
That was definitely a miscommunication with Brian and I. You know, we do these pregame conversations the day before the game just to give them information. That conversation, Coach Nagy and I have a great conversation on the sidelines. So there might be times where we go through it beforehand and say, hey, what do you think? And there's times where you got to get the ball out quick and whatnot. But in those situations, like Matt and I have a great relationship on the sideline with conversations and everything. I think, you know, in that situation with Brian, it was just a miscommunication of words, because that's not what I was trying to bring across in that conversation.
See, I think that's a reasonable explanation. You know, he's sitting there and he's saying, you know, we'll come over and we'll say, we don't have enough time for this. And those are conversations that every coach and player have on the sideline, is, hey, what if we do this? And you're bouncing it off a quarterback or running back or your offensive line. They're like, nah, we don't have the time for it. And if that's the case, that's not nearly as damning as the way that Brian Griese made it sound, which is the play's coming into his headset and Foles is going, we're done. We're doomed. We're screwed here. Where the way Foles frames it is that those conversations do happen, but they're on the sidelines where it's like, hey, what if we do this? What if we do this? And he's like, we can't do that. There's no way we can run that play right now. Doesn't that make a lot more sense than what Griese said?
Well, Greasy's just, he's just reiterating what he heard. And I think both guys are in a miscommunication of Brian Griese played the position. He's my class. He's class of 98. I played with him a couple times in some all-star games. He's an awesome dude, man. His dad played football. He knows football. He knows what it, thing is, that there's anybody that has the credibility to stand back and tell you what it's like. I think Brian Griese can do it. And so he's just giving you his opinion on it, whether or not you think that Matt, I think that it's quite prevalent statistically and by their win totals and their plus minus, not their plus minus, but their point differential percentage, to tell you they can't get it done on offense. And if you want to defend it, and anybody wants to defend the fact that Nick Foles is trying to make sure that Matt Nagy is okay and you want to have that relationship, stats don't lie, win losses. They're a 5-2 team masquerading as a winless team, realistically.
Well, I mean, the wins and losses don't lie, and they're 5-2 right now.
Yeah.
Like you said, and in control of a playoff spot, but that could go away rather quickly. And I think the bigger issue here is that, say we're talking to Andy Reid. Say Brian Griese's doing a Chiefs Monday night game, and he says the exact same thing like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, right? And I think a lot of us would be like, well, I mean, they're still doing okay, so I don't know how big of a deal that is, right? The larger issue here is that it is believable that Nick Foles doubts Matt Nagy's play calls because of how bad the offense is in Chicago. That is the larger issue here, is that I think if it's a good coach and a good play caller and a good quarterback, it gets brushed off to the side and it's kind of a forgettable thing that Brian Griese said. But when your offense is struggling to the degree that the Chicago Bears are, and the fact they can't run the football, the fact that you throw zero touchdowns and two picks and your offense fails to score a touchdown on the game, it is a very believable thing and a realistic thing that, miscommunication or not, that Nick Foles gets a play call into his headset and goes, nope, this ain't going to work, because you're seeing it play out on the field that their offensive line is a mess. And that is a huge problem for the Chicago Bears.
Well, what's the problem for the Bears are is that if they don't find a way to get it done right, what are they going to make and how are they going to make the move for quarterback? How are they going to do that to finish? Because we've seen it. I did this analogy early in the show, is that the Bears in Seattle are exactly the same team except for one huge difference, quarterback. If you took the defense of the Bears, combined it with the offense of Seattle, you'd have a Super Bowl championship team, and it would be the 2013-2014 Seattle Seahawks. That's the separation factor. The Seahawks have no defense. So you can still win football games with a legit quarterback. How good would the Bears be if they would have had Cam Newton? 100% better. Not even a question. Not even a question to me. Would they have been better with making a trade for a Matt Ryan? Yes, 100%. Would they be? Because Matt Nagy has already shown this over and over again. I can win football games with a good defense because he had Vic Fangio, who's a great defensive coordinator, and some of those pieces are still there. But today, the way football is shaped and the way the NFL is moving, you better have a quarterback that can make some throws, and they don't have it.
I mean, you think you can make a midseason trade for a quarterback, though, and have him come in be seamless?
What's the biggest concern? What's the biggest concern? Are you keeping your job? Do you want to hold Pat? Hey, let's sit on Nick Foles for a few more years, see what happens. Let's see. You already know. You know what drives me insane? When somebody already knows. You know, it's like, we'll give it time to develop. You benched your second pick overall. We know it doesn't work. Nick Foles has been proven never make it through a season. He's a Super Bowl champ by default. He's Jeff Hostetler. Congratulations. Great quarterback moment for the Eagles. It's not going to be a perennial starter for years. We know it. Everybody wants to hold on. It's like, well, we'll just wait and see. You're going to wait and see yourself out of a job is what you're going to do.
No, I'm talking, can a quarterback come in? Like you mentioned Matt Ryan, and I think that hell yeah, dealing for a guy like a Matt Ryan would make sense, but will it make an impact this year? Can Matt Ryan step into Chicago, learn their offense?
I would trade tomorrow.
Weeks, and figure out what they're doing offensively with the quarterback position and all that those guys are asked in the NFL?
100%. Really? I would trade for it. I wouldn't. But the only other thing is that if you think that this team's going to lose its continuity, or maybe the locker room culture is going to have a problem, or there's a deep connection to Nick Foles, I don't know if the guys are behind Nick Foles, because if everybody in the offense comes to the coach and Coach Nagy goes to ask his offensive line and some of the other wide receivers and goes, hey, do you like what Nick is doing for you? And there's a waffle, then you make the move. But if they're all in and you don't want to mess around with the culture, fine, but your culture is not winning. I know you're 5-2, but does anybody believe the Bears are going to make the playoffs right now?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I do, because, I mean, you're...
Somebody's got to get in.
Well, and two teams aren't getting in from the NFC East, so...
And we did this... I did this with Ryan Tannehill last year. I really did. I did this with Ryan Tannehill. Nobody believed it, and maybe it can happen, but I don't see the same kind of offensive... At least, what is the... That's what I don't know. I can't tell you what the Bears are on offense. I could tell you what Tennessee was on offense. It was Derrick Henry, it was good defense, and it was an occasional couple throws with Ryan Tannehill. I have no idea what the Bears are on offense.
Well, it's going to get a lot easier for them. Their schedule really lightens up here in the next couple weeks as they got the Saints and Titans. My goodness. All right. Pac-12 will have over 13 hours of football in week one. Will it help them?
So fellas, whoa. I submitted to you on the interwebs, on Twitter, my proof. And this biased survey that Buck decided to put out there will prove that nobody likes redheads.
I was just asking the people if Andy Reid is a redhead, plain and simple.
Look at my pictures. That's not a redhead.
Well, should we submit the photos of him looking more like a redhead?
How do you submit lighting? Yeah. So now we're gonna talk about lighting. You know, I'm joking with you guys with all this. Is that a redhead knows a redhead? That's not a redhead. You're not redhead. And lighting has nothing to do with it. Those are two pictures. There's the sunlight and there's the locker. By the way, did you love how Brett Favre's pants are like, you see a jock strap just chilling. It's like, hey, give me a little hug here, coach. Love it.
Oh, yeah. He does classic. Have his butt hanging out.
Yeah, you know, it's Brett Favre.
The question is, Andy Reid, redhead or not redhead?
Well, this will prove that nobody likes redheads, because everyone will end up saying, yes, he is a redhead, because people that aren't redheads don't know how to gauge who's a real redhead.
But why does that prove that people don't like redheads?
Because it's a damnation towards me, who's a redhead, and they don't like redheads. Nobody likes redheads.
I don't think people love Andy Reid, though, and he's considered a redhead.
Not a redhead.
People love Brian Scalabrine. Redhead.
Love Brian Scalabrine?
Yes.
I don't even talk about Brian Scalabrine. Love Brian Scalabrine?
He was a bench player that
was adored
by fans.
They made fun of him on a daily basis. They actually made so much fun of him, they tried to create a scenario where randomites thought he was, what is he doing on the bench? It's like, what is this nerd doing on the bench? They created a whole television show to make fun of him.
What television show?
To bring in guys off the street to play him one-on-one, because they didn't respect his game, because they said he was a clown redhead.
Bill Walton.
Okay.
What? I mean, it's a beloved redhead, Bill Walton.
Okay. Anyway. I'm telling you, I already know that. So he lives it every day. Nobody likes redheads.
Jeez. Well, maybe if you simmer down a little bit.
I see. This is part of being a redhead. You were always fiery. We're always full of, you know, just every day. It was every day, man. I'm not looking for the sob story. Poor Cam.
I think you are.
Oh, God. It was every day. It was every day. Every single day you walk into class, throwing crap at you, dumping tomato sauce on your head and ketchup while you're at lunch. I mean, I could just go on. It's a different world now. That's why I take care of my true redheads.
And you think that was because you were redheaded or?
Yeah. Yeah. When you look different, you look weird. People don't like it. They make fun of it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that does sound like it was horrible.
But it forms you because it forms us redheads to who we are because we're always edgy and we're salty. And you wonder why they call us the bitter gingers.
Text line telling us that Jessica Rabbit was a redhead we all liked.
Oh, she was. She's a hot cartoon character.
She was.
That Jessica Rabbit was.
Yeah.
That premise of the movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, is quite out there. Wild to think that's a Disney movie.
Female redheads are strikingly beautiful.
Yeah, who's
everybody
the gal
loves
from
redhead.
Mad Men?
Redheaded women are striking. They are gorgeous. Us dudes, we're mutants.
What was her name?
I don't remember.
January Jones was the blonde. I know the one you're talking about. I like Isla Fisher, the from Wedding Crashers, Borat's wife in real life.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Married to Sacha Baron Cohen?
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still married. They were at one point. I believe they still are.
Boy, she played a wackadoodle so good in Wedding Crashers. That was
She's great. She's a great actress. She's funny. Yeah, she was. That was pretty good.
I'll find you.
Now, that's why I always say is that the women, we can go all the way back to old classic shows. Lucille Ball, beautiful redhead, funny, hysterical. What was it? There's so many. Women are great.
Yeah, they've been married for 10 years, her and Borat.
Is that what's his? Sacha Baron Cohen.
Is he? No.
Is he European?
Yes.
No, really? Really? Where's he from?
He's
not an American?
British?
He's from England originally.
He's England. Okay. He's English.
He's from Hammersmith, London.
Badass name.
What is in Rottenham? Where's the Scotland?
Pac-12 is going to have 13 hours of football in week one.
How about that?
It's starting at 9 a.m. is the first kick, Arizona State, USC. And then the final, we already knew that one. That was announced a long time ago. But yesterday, all the kick times were announced. The final kick time of the night will be a 7:30 kick, which means our final game will be, what, like 10:30 finish up? So we'll have 13 and a half hours of college football in the Pac-12 on week one.
Yeah.
If you're wondering when Oregon and Oregon State are both kicking off, those games, 4 o'clock for 4:30 right here on the Fan will be Stanford at Oregon. Washington State at the Beavs is 7:30 on FS1. That's a late kick. And then the Huskies have a late kick at 7:30 on ESPN at Cal. But you're going 9 a.m. all the way. They got a 9 a.m. window, a 1 o'clock, a 4 o'clock, a 4:30, and two 7:30 windows for the opening weekend of Pac-12 football.
So the first one out of the gate, I asked this question for everybody. Why Arizona State and number 21 USC at 9 a.m. on Fox? Is that a East Coast situation? Is that the showcased what they would say their best matchup for the beginning of the season to start that off and give everybody on the East Coast and a chance to wake up? Look, as a former player anymore, I don't really care if you want to play tonight. It doesn't affect me. I'm either in pajamas with a mimosa or I'm having coffee in the morning with some whatever it takes. I'm going to have a breakfast burrito, and I'm going to watch some great college football. But I think this is another slap to, well, the Pac-12 knew they had one window and one chance to put their best team, and they just went, all right, we got to showcase our teams. I guess it's the 9 o'clock window, and here you go. Your best game's at 9 a.m.?
I have no idea why they did
that. I think
it's
as much them saying, because there's been people saying that the 9 a.m. kickoff is a bad idea. Mm-hmm. The only way that they can say, no, this works, is if the games they put there end up being good games that people want to watch.
But it's a brand they want to watch. But what if the football is bad?
then that's going to be a problem.
Then it will be a problem because that's what the coaches have been warning about. I know. That's what the players have been complaining about. Yeah. And that's why nobody on the East Coast plays a 9 a.m. kickoff is because it's too early. And here's the problem that the Pac-12 is going to have with that, too, is that you've got some games that are still unannounced. They're going to be going head-to-head with North Carolina Duke, which is a rivalry game. That's not two huge brands. It's not going to rope in a national audience, but it will have ACC implications there. There's the possibility that number 6 Oklahoma State at number 16 Kansas State is at that same time at 9 a.m. Also, number 13 Michigan at number 17 Indiana could be at that time. And then the SEC could have a couple of games that are still open for that 9 a.m. window. And this is the big problem with the early kickoffs is that, one, you are playing an early kickoff and the whole is it going to be good football or not?
Yeah.
The second one is you're not going to rope in very many extra eyes because of the fact that every other conference will be playing at that time.
Yeah.
And if you're a Pac-12 fan, are you going to be more willing to watch, you know, SC versus Arizona State or Michigan versus Indiana?
It's true.
You're going to watch conference. The same thing can be said in Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC country.
You're right. And this is the fail of the Pac-12 network, because if the Pac-12 network carried any weight, which it doesn't because it's an epic fail, then your best teams could start at 12:30 and then move from there. And then Fox could adjust and you could go from there. The fact that you're fighting to try to get eyes on a national stage when you should just be trying to own your region. You know, if you're really, you have a really good product and you sell really good tires, why don't you just really sell that one tire until you deserve to go national with your brand? Until you just own your own region. It's like you become the best tire region in the entire area.
Les Schwab.
And yes. And then all of a sudden somebody comes to you and goes, by the way, you make a really good tire. You make a really good football team. This is pretty good. You know what we'd like to do? We'd like to move you to the 12:30 window on the East Coast so everybody can see that. Instead of trying to force it down your throat, why don't you just wait?
Well, I'm glad you've come around to these early kickoffs not good.
Well, I don't know if they're not good because I haven't seen it yet. I'm not advocating that it's bad or good. I'm just saying it sounds like a desperate move for a conference trying to be relevant. And if someone has to tell you they're relevant, and they're not relevant.
Well, and this is
just own your own region first. How about make everybody care more out here?
I think it's idiotic that the conversation was, well, there's not enough TV windows. Have you
then go to Prime? Well, go to Netflix.
Have you ever taken a look at what TV windows actually are? Because there's games that start at 9, 10, 11, 11:30, 12, 12:30, 1, 1:30. And then you have 3:30, 4, 4:30, 5, 5:30, 7, 7:30, and 8. Don't tell me that there's not these windows that they're not willing to put you in. There's a window for everything. You can play a game at any time. The only time that you're not seeing games start is at the 2 o'clock hour. For whatever reason, 2 o'clock, games aren't starting.
Yeah.
Other than that, every half hour, there's a damn game that is starting across college football. Mm-hmm. So I just sit there and I go, 9 a.m. is ridiculous. If you want to play at 11, 11 is more reasonable. Mm-hmm. It's a more reasonable thing.
And Fox, and don't these television networks, and Buck, maybe you can answer this too, on the TV side, is that you can regionalize. Why can't you regionalize a broadcast and just say, does everything have to be flipping national with college football? I could have the same.
Because that's what you pay for. That's the
falsities of what they're trying to do, is that I could have Fox. Fox in football can show you a Titans game, and they can show us a Titans game here, and they can show a Titans game in Tennessee, but on the same channel, they can give us a Seahawk game, right? Regionalize. Mm-hmm. Why can't you just get out of your own way and regionalize your success by owning your own market? Can't even own your own market.
Well, the networks don't want that because what the conferences want is they want national games, and they want guaranteed of national games because it widens your brand and it helps you with recruiting. ABC, CBS, and those, you don't want, they're not going to want to be on
also
a regionalized broadcast.
It's also more money, and I understand that too, but you're dead last.
Well, then, but that's out of the Pac-12's hands.
No, well, it shouldn't be.
What?
It shouldn't be. You should.
No,
you
the
should,
television. You
should, that's what. Yeah,
television
that's,
window or the television national broadcast.
No, what I'm saying is that it should be in your own hands to have made your network a success. Oh. It was in your hands.
Yeah, they screwed that up. But we have 13 and a half hours of Pac-12 football in week one. And how about this? You know, Clemson plays their sixth game this year. That's the entire Pac-12, or this week.
Isn't that crazy?
This week is Clemson's sixth game. Mm-hmm. That's the entire Pac-12 season. Right. And they'll have another week before the Pac-12 even starts.
I know. I know. Don't get me started.
Oh, wow.
Don't get me started.
Hey, I got a story for you. The story of a college coach who's looking for 2.5 million pennies after Buck with SportsCenter. This is how we do it. It's Friday night. And I feel all right. Lane Kiffin got in a little trouble with the SEC. We talked about this yesterday during our Wide Right with his retweet after his team got screwed against Auburn, where the Auburn player touched a kickoff, it rolled into the end zone, and Ole Miss clearly recovered. But the officials didn't review it, and Ole Miss ended up losing by a touchdown to Auburn at the end of the game when it was all said and done. That touchdown would have helped a lot for them. But Lane Kiffin retweeted something saying that the officials in the SEC must have really wanted Auburn to win, and he knew that a fine was coming. But it was a phone call that he got from the SEC afterwards that kept him upset, even to his press conference yesterday afternoon.
Well, I was late to this because I was on the phone with John McDade in the SEC, and so I've really struggled with this a lot. I just had the conversation with him. You know, he called to explain what happened. You know, I really wish for our players, for our fans, that they could hear what I was just told. I think they deserve to, but, you know, I asked. They made sure to tell me there's a policy that I can't tell you, the players or the fans, you know, what their, if you want to call it, explanation for that situation. And I asked the side judge, why aren't they replaying it? Do I need a challenge? And he said, they've already looked at it. There's nothing there. So I'm not allowed to say anything about the conversation, but I really wish that our fans and players could hear what I was told.
You've talked about this.
I've had to take about a 5-minute power yoga class before I walked in here and said what I really want to. Because you know what I'd really like? I'd really like when you guys ask me questions about managing a game or how I play players, just say, well, that's a personal thing, and I can't discuss it with you. I would really like to be able to answer those questions like that.
Shots fired.
The SEC came out yesterday and said, you know what? We screwed up that play.
Yeah.
We screwed it up. But also, Lane Kiffin, for you pointing out that we screwed it up, we will fine you $25,000 for his retweet. So Lane Kiffin asked the question on social media yesterday, because his Twitter account is gold. Where can I find 2.5 million pennies? He wants to.
This is the definition
pay
of
the SEC.
The definition of first rule of Fight Club is we don't talk about Fight Clubs.
No.
Yeah, because you can't. You go after the SEC in any way or any officials. Just say something bad. No, you can go after coaches' decisions. Mike Leach, like he just said, players, Nick Saban, bad testing, COVID protocols, but you cannot mention anything about the officials. Even though we said we're wrong, we screwed up. But if you say we're wrong, we fine you. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and I love Lane Kiffin right now, who he's caught a lot of flack, and a lot of it's justified with Lane Kiffin. But you could tell he just doesn't give a rip anymore. Yeah. Like, he does not care what the SEC thinks. He doesn't care what fans think. He just sits there and he's going to shoot from the hip and be honest with you, because it is ridiculous that the SEC isn't coming out. And I don't know what they told him about the replay and the review, but it cost his team a game. And he sit there and he's clearly saying, I wish you guys would have heard the BS that they were telling me, because it was ridiculous how they addressed the situation with it. And so it's refreshing to see a coach like that, because a lot of coaches just don't say anything. They toe that line and they're worried what the conference or what his AD is going to say. Lane Kiffin's like, yeah, whatever.
What do you think?
I'm just going to shoot from the hip and let you know.
What do you think the main goal for the SEC or for any conference when they say don't talk about officials? Because we see it at every level, correct? I mean, they run PSA service announcements on our own radio station about parents and the way they act to officials locally here, high school. Fair, right? It's a little crazy. We see the parents fighting in their cargo shorts at youth sporting events. And then we see the debacle of what the Pac-12 referee, and because that's actually a hashtag, Pac-12 officials, how bad it was. And then we get to see at the NFL level, you can't talk about, don't say or do that. What is this unspoken situation of criticism? Because we criticize players, we criticize coaches, but you don't want your own group criticizing each other within, even though they've blatantly made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Not only blatantly, but the Auburn game and now this.
The Auburn-Arkansas game. Yeah.
How in the world can you not be up for it? Is that we criticize ourselves? That's enough. That's enough. Don't jump on board anymore because we got to look like we're together. Just be deep. Okay, thicken up the skin a little bit and understand you're human. You can make mistakes. I guess you want to own up to the fact that it's okay. People are going to criticize you no matter what. You just want to be lied to. That's really what it feels like.
And I mean, there is an element of what Lane Kiffin is complaining about where it's like, dude, you were up by 1 point at that point, and there was over five and a half minutes to play. You could have stopped them, or you could have scored again with how much time you had left on the clock, but you didn't, right? Mm-hmm. And so you had time to win the game, but when it is blatant and it wasn't even reviewed, like if it was reviewed and it was upheld, I guess, but I mean, they're saying that they didn't even stop it for review. It's just the replay official up in the booth was like, no, it's good. And that to me is you're not doing your job. Mm-hmm. Like, and to your point, everybody that doesn't do their job gets criticized for it in the sport.
Especially in a performance-based business. The officials in a performance, aren't they? It's supposed to perform and they get graded. So we don't get to see the officials' grades every week and week out. Do they post it all over Twitter?
No.
Can you imagine if an official had a Twitter account and every time they posted their stats, okay, I had 15 flags thrown this week, 4 out of 15 I got right. What would we do as media people? I mean, if you saw those stats, yet we'll get Baker Mayfield, and he'll throw some bad throws.
I did see something really awesome this week where a rec league basketball referee made a mixtape of himself and posted it. Running up and down the court, blowing the whistle, doing a charge call. It's really good.
Give me more of that.
Those officials on the stand afterwards in the media and let us talk to them.
Well, especially in college football, because in college football, there is no forgiveness for a loss. Whatsoever.
Nope.
I mean, it is zero forgiveness. And you don't think that Auburn at the end of the day is going to go back and when they're head-to-head recruiting against an Ole Miss player against Ole Miss, they're going to be like, oh, we beat Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And in 3 months from now, is anybody going to be talking about the muffed kickoff? No. All they're going to look at and eventually Lane Kiffin, when he gets fired, it's going to be, hey, you had a win-loss record of so such and such. Well, guess what? Gus Malzahn's win-loss record is propped up by 2 because SEC officials have had his back against Arkansas and now Ole Miss.
There you go.
It's brutal. But, hey, give me more Lane Kiffin. I'm thinking of sending some pennies to Lane Kiffin.
I'll donate to the Lane Kiffin Fund.
2.5 million pennies. Absolutely, I'll donate pennies. To it. Is what he's looking for.
The Lane Kiffin penny drive.
Penny drive. Let's you do that.
He doesn't need the money, but
it's about principle here.
How many pennies are in circulation, you think?
There was a big short of change because everybody was using the digital COVIDs. Currency. Mm. Yeah, so the ones were, nobody had any ones. Mm. Change wasn't around. Man. Who gets change anymore? Did you get change?
Yeah.
Remember how your dad always had change in his pocket?
Of course.
In the jeans?
The Google machine tells me that there are approximately 150 billion pennies in circulation.
Get the hell out of town.
Wow. That's a lot.
Wait, hold on. 288 billion in circulation, an estimated 150 billion being used.
Wow.
No, I don't buy that.
I do. Nobody worldwide.
Nobody uses a penny.
Worldwide. Obviously. You don't trust the U.S. and Google Mint? To tell you that?
When's the last time you counted out change with a penny? I mean, I get pennies as change. I can't tell you the last time I actually
used
a penny.
I'm afraid we got to keep some tangible currency. I don't want to go all digital.
Well, I don't either.
Everybody keeps paying me in the oh my gosh, I just mentally just lost
Venmo. Bitcoin.
Yeah, Venmo. Venmo. Is that, can I Venmo you? It's like, be an adult and carry some cash after a golf round. Don't Venmo me. Be a man. Men carry cash.
Venmo's fine.
Men, no, it's not.
I have no issue with Venmo.
Well, for other things, it is. For other things. But when dudes are done with a golf session, carry cash. Don't show up to the golf course and don't have any cash.
I think Venmo's acceptable.
My buddy says, why would you not want to be able to text your friend's money?
For you, it's there. For you, that's fine.
It's easy and it's convenient.
I understand, but there's fees and there's tracking. You can't hide it from your wife and you don't get the extra.
There it is. Now, there it is.
Well, I'm just, that's what it is. I don't really care. I'm just saying is that every other guy's been like, give me cash because
of this. Well, why do you care then?
Why do I care? Because cash is still important. I think you got to care. It should. Okay, here's the difference.
You're getting the money.
I know, but let me just tell you. There's nothing better when you beat somebody and they walk over and you're done and you're settling up and a guy has to open up his wallet and actually touch the money and hand it to you. That's the satisfaction. Sure. It doesn't feel real when it's kind of, he's like, oh, let me Venmo like this. That doesn't get the same satisfaction when I watch him break out a crisp 20 and a 50 and he has to like, here. Well, I don't get that same satisfaction.
You can just keep on going into your Venmo account and you can see he paid you.
Yeah, but then he's like, it's not real because he goes, yeah, my wife will just Venmo you. It's like, I'm out. You're out.
You're really upset.
Never invited back. No soup for you anymore.
One of Lane's former employers says they're on the cutting edge of beating the COVIDs. Next on The Fan. All right, John Gruden, head coach of Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders have been in an interesting situation of late. You had John Gruden getting fined $100,000. He was one of the first to get the $100,000 fined, and the Raiders getting a $250,000 fine for him not wearing a mask during a game. You've had different instances where, remember the first week of the year where he had the weird story of him faking out the team that he had COVID? Do you remember that? Where he brought in an assistant coach? Mm. And then he popped back on and was like, no, but see how quickly things could change.
Yeah.
And that was a weird story that popped out. And then he actually said, no, I did have COVID at one point. And they had all their offensive line sent home this past week. And Jonathan Abram also sent home because of a COVID scare with their starting left tackle. Well, John Gruden had this to say yesterday about how his team is handling it.
I don't get involved in it, honestly. I'm really proud of our organization, what we've done. You know, there's a lot of things I think that have been written and said about some of the violations that we have committed. We're on the cutting edge of beating the virus. What we've done as an organization are top notch. And we did not expect the game to be moved. We knew we were going to be compromised somewhat by preparation because of the guys that weren't able to play and weren't able to practice. But like I said, it was 24-20. With 11 minutes and 57 seconds left, and we have our opponent 3rd and 13. We didn't get it done, and it's a reflection of me.
What?
I love that. God, I love Chucky. I love it.
What does any of that mean?
I don't know what it means, but I love it. I'm knocking.
It goes back. It
knock
goes
on
back
wood.
To being 3rd and 13. Everything goes back to 3rd and 13.
Well, he's not wrong though. We had him 3rd and 13. What do you want? He's like, get it done. Get off the field.
Do with your organization being cutting edge in curbing COVID.
Whether you guys understand it or not, coaches live in a bubble. Football players live in a bubble. They honestly don't see anything outside of their own shadow for eons and eons of time. But he bought a random hotel room in Tampa somewhere and had, I'm being a little facetious.
Strip but mall.
It was
a strip mall place.
I called it a hotel room strip mall and created an office to look at film and live. He has an obsession. And so that obsession means that anytime you bring up anything, it will relate to football. It's like 3rd and 13, COVID protocol, my wife's meatloaf, I got it wrong. See,
we're on the cutting edge of beating COVID.
You think he meant as a nation or maybe
no,
as, I
no,
think
no,
he meant
no,
as,
no.
I think
said,
he meant as
no,
a nation.
He said as a franchise and as a nation, we're not either.
No, but I'm thinking it's just what he's trying to. We're rounding the turn. What he's saying, we're rounding the turn.
No,
we're coming ahead.
Not true.
Well, that is too true. We're closer to a vaccine than we were 8 months ago, so that's not true. We are. We're getting better. We're understanding more things. More time is more intelligent. Don't act like it's the end of the world right now. We're getting. Be positive, for God's sakes.
What?
Be positive. We're finding solutions and answers. We're getting better as humans, and we're listening to smart people. Let's be positive about this. And that's what John Gruden's trying to do.
Oh,
he's trying to be positive. It's a little insane, but that's coaches.
It's
you
a
have
lot
to be
of
a little
insane.
But he has to be insane because he's John Gruden. You have to be a little weird.
I don't know what he's talking about, but it does appear that his franchise is going to be getting a fine from the National Football League because Trent Brown, their left tackle. He did test positive, and he did miss Sunday's game. Jonathan Abram did too, and he got out. The other four offensive linemen didn't test positive, but apparently the NFL is investigating the Raiders now for not wearing masks in their facility, which is what I mean. That's one of
they have cameras up in every facility.
They
do. That was part of the
and that's
situation.
What they're reviewing. And so you're looking at that is what the big fine was for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah,
that and not being clear in their messaging that their team couldn't practice, but the Raiders could be looking at a $350,000 fine for. For the not wearing masks properly.
And potential draft picks also. I saw that was put out there, but I'm like, why are you taking away? What are we taking away draft picks
if
for?
If the Titans aren't going to get hit with draft picks, then the Raiders won't.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you wouldn't think that would be what they got dinged for as a draft pick in this situation. But I don't know what you're talking about, John Gruden, but I'm here.
That is such great coach speak, because those of you who are just coaches,
these
football guys don't see anything. They got nothing. Of course, they're 24/7, 365. Football. I don't expect anything different from John Gruden.
And
he doesn't think clearly.
That is why I appreciate Lane Kiffin is doing.
Right.
Like, Lane Kiffin is seeing through the weeds and realizing, like, I'm just going to be myself on social media because I'm a human being, too. And I, for one, love Lane Kiffin is going outside of just seeing down this tunnel vision of everything's going right back to football. And he's just like, no. I'll be honest with you on social media, what I like and I don't like. And now he's looking for 2.5 million pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And John Gruden may be searching for some pennies too when his franchise gets hit with a big fine.
Wouldn't it be great to just drive in and drop off your fine right at the SEC and just back up a big dumpster or truck and just dump it right in front of everybody? I mean, I paid it.
Here, you pick
here
it
is.
2.5 million pennies.
Pick it up and count it.
I have no idea what that looks like. But it
wasn't there a business that got fined and they went in and paid it all in change?
There was
like
a guy,
nickels or something.
No, there was a guy who got. Oh, you're talking. That's what Elon Musk.
Elon
wanted.
Musk.
He wanted
sorry,
to do
he
it. He wanted to do it. I don't think he ever.
I thought I saw somebody do it. They had like those laundry baskets full of change, and he went and just dumped it.
The infamous one is the guy who paid. Like a parking ticket or something with 3,000 pennies.
That's great.
But that's only 3,000. And that was a wheelbarrow full.
Did he really?
Yeah, like overflowing wheelbarrow full was 3,000 pennies. 2.5 million? God.
You guys get to count this.
You have like two dump trucks. Like two full dump trucks.
Maybe. But what would you say if they did that? He paid it. Cheer.
Yeah. My job pay the fine.
My job is to pay the fine.
I paid the fine.
Paid the fine. Doesn't say how I have to pay the fine.
Mm-mm. Well, it probably does in those bylaws of the SEC.
It has to be check or direct deposit. Maybe a dump truck of pennies.
Well, Ole Miss gonna do it. You know, Ole Miss fans gonna do it. Landshark.
Right.
Trade deadline a week away in the NFL. Two rivals out west are gonna be fighting for the same guys. Who's buying at the deadline, and where are the fire sales starting? It could all start up actually this week, leading up to next week's deadline. That to start next hour. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.